All right, turn your Bibles to Luke. Luke chapter number one, I'm sorry. And as you're turning there, I wanted to, not that I'm trying to brag, but my wife and I, we celebrated our 6th wedding anniversary yesterday. And give my wife a hand because she's dealt with me so much for so long. 6 wonderful years, but I appreciate it. But I just want to give you some pickup lines that I learned along the way, all right? Christian pickup lines, here you go. If you're dating right now, you're in college, these will work, all right? First one is, nice Bible. If that doesn't work, you know Jesus? Me too. What a coincidence. Hey, I know a church where we can go and talk. Do you need some help carrying your Bible? It looks heavy. Christians don't shake hands. Christians hug. I like that one. That one worked. I'm joking. Did it hurt when you fell from heaven? How about this one? Hey, you want to come over and watch the Ten Commandments? Nice bracelet. What would Jesus do? And do you believe in divine appointment? And this is one that worked for me. Excuse me, I believe one of your ribs belongs to me. And Luke chapter 1, verse number 39, we'll get started. And again, I want to thank Pastor Rogers for having us. Thank you for the accommodations. Thank you for all the folks that took the girls last night and put them up, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 39, the Bible says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for your blessings you've bestowed upon us. Lord, I pray that you'd use me this morning to be a blessing. Use me to be an encouragement to someone here. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to hone in on that one phrase where Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." You know, the word magnify means to make great. It means to enlarge. It means to supersize. It means to make bigger. You know, think about this. Mary was a virgin, and yet she was with child, and the angel came to her and said, "You know what, Mary, you are with child. You're with child of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all gods." He said, "Mary, you're going to be the mother of Jesus Christ, the one, the Savior of all the world." Can you imagine Mary? She's sitting there and saying, "I can't believe this. God will actually choose me to be the mother of his son." And you know, sitting here, Mary said, "I'm going to magnify, my soul doth magnify the Lord." It's an amazing thing. You know what? We take a microscope or we take a magnifying glass to do what reason? To magnify something, to make things larger. I remember in science class and biology, and we would have we had an amoeba that we had to dissect. And if you know what amoeba, it looks like one, like a juju fruit type thing, you know? And it's a little small thing, the size of a penny, and it was like kind of clear, and you can see little red strands going through it and little blue strands. And we got the magnifying glass and we looked in on it and we began to take the scalpel and we cut it apart. And as our teacher guided us through, we needed a magnifying glass to see what we were cutting, and we needed a magnifying glass to see what we're poking out as we're dissecting this thing. You know what? Magnifying means to enlarge. It means to supersize. I've got contacts in my eyes right now. Why? Because if I didn't, I couldn't see you. And I wear glasses, and I've got glasses in my briefcase for when I need to read or if I don't have my contacts in. And you know what? I use those to so I can see. I use those to magnify. I use those to make things bigger in my sight. This morning I was, my wife and I, we were have a workout regimen. We're doing the P90X workout regimen. And for some reason, our DVDs won't work on our laptop. So I've got on and I've typed them all out. Well, I didn't have my contacts in. I didn't have my glasses on because I was working out. So I had to sit there and hit the zoom button on my computer so I can read what I typed out. You know, but I had to see it. I had to magnify it so I can see it. You know, that word magnify means to make great. It means to enlarge. It means to supersize. It means to make bigger. You know, one thing, you see all those t-shirts everywhere. You know, when I first caught the fish, it was this big. Then the first time I told the story, it was this big. Then the second time I told the story, it was this big. About the 13th, 14th time, man, you've got a whopping fish, 60-pound catfish. You know, you went under the water head first, and you grabbed it with your hands. You know, have you seen those on the TV shows? That's pretty cool, and I wouldn't do it. But, you know, you sit there, and every time you tell a story, it gets bigger. Why? Because you're making it bigger, because it was big to you. I remember my wife, she tells a story when we were dating and I took her down to Louisiana for the first time. We went fishing and you know, she's from Michigan and she only caught these little guppies or little bluegill, you know, and those were big fish. But we were sitting there and she tells a story when she caught the first fish there and she was, man, it was the biggest fish I've ever caught. And it was this big. It was a blackfish. It was a friend of the redfish family and a cousin of that. And we're out in the Gulf of Mexico and it's the biggest fish. And then when I tell the story, it was, yeah, we didn't even make it limit. It was like 15 and a half inches, and we had to cut the head off so we can cut it. Because, you know, down in Louisiana, the limit is 16 inches. And, you know, we had to cut the head off so they couldn't tell how big the fish was. But to her, it was the biggest fish. And to me, it was like, that's a small one, you know. But, you know, it was big in her eyes because that's the biggest thing she's ever caught. You know, but we sit there, and my brother, Josh, he's older than me, a year and a half older than me. And Josh likes to exaggerate. And he has always exaggerated all the stories. And if you've gone, Caleb was on my brother's bus route, my brother's bus captain. You know, Josh, brother, he exaggerated everything. Man, we had so many people on the bus route. Or man, our backyard was huge. And you know, Josh, it was like, man, it was pouring down rain and we were running through playing football. I'm like, Josh, it was just a drizzle, you know? And it was, you know, Louisiana, you know, you got showers that come in, they last for 5 minutes and they go away. I'm like, Josh, it wasn't pouring all day. It was just a shower that came through, you know? But that's my brother. But we always make fun of him, and we never listen to stories. I've always sit there, no, it wasn't. It was this. It was that. It wasn't that big, you know, but that's my brother. But he liked to magnify things. The girls this morning magnified Hiles Anderson College. They were showing you a little bit how much we think Hiles College is the greatest college in all the world, and we think it's the best college because we paid them to do that, you know. And we sit there, but more than that, they made Hiles Anderson College seem big to you because it's big in their eyes. But more than making Hiles Anderson College, they sang of a Savior who is much bigger than that. And tonight, this morning, they magnified Jesus Christ in the song, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves, Hallelujah, Jesus Saves. And they sang a song, Lean on Me. Why? Because our God is a huge God. Anybody and everybody can lean on Him anytime they want to. What a huge and wonderful, great God He is. We're magnified in Him this morning. You know what Mary said? My soul doth magnify the Lord. Can I ask you, when was the last time you magnified God? When was the last time you told somebody about what God has done for you? When was the last time you told somebody about how Jesus saved your soul, how He gave you a home in heaven, how He washed your sins white as snow? When was the last time you magnified God in somebody else's sight? When was the last time you magnified God and said, hey, I've got a wonderful church called Berean Baptist Church on Maumee Street. It's a great church. It's an awesome church. We've got a beautiful auditorium. We've got a great pastor. And when was the last time you said, hey, this is big stuff around here? When was the last time you said, I've got a great God? When was the last time that you said, man, God has given me good health? Hey, young person, you better be glad that you've got good health and you can walk around and you can talk around and you can run around and you can do a lot of things, because when you get older, you're not going to get that. You're not going to have it unless you're Superman, but that ain't happening because he ain't real. Sorry to break that news to you. When was the last time you magnified your spouse and said, man, God has given me a wonderful spouse? God has given me a wife that has allowed me to travel around. And she's willing to leave our home for 2 months. And she's willing to let me travel quite a bit recently. And I've traveled out and I've seen and I've left her home and I left her behind. But she's allowed me to do that. And she stayed faithful to me. What a wonderful wife I have. When was the last time you thanked God for your spouse? Ladies, when was the last time you thanked God that your spouse was willing to work and give you a home and give you clothes to wear and food to eat and a house to live in and a warm, especially in these winters up here in Michigan, a warm place to stay? What a wonderful God you have because He's allowed you to have that. We've got a wonderful, wonderful God. He's big in my life. And when's the last time you thanked God for the children that He's given you? And how wonderful they are and how blessed they are to you. Magnify an awesome pastor that loves you. I've known Pastor Rogers for a few years now. I went to school with Dave, and we sat in Greek class together. And if it wasn't for Dave letting me cheat on his classes, I wouldn't have passed Greek. No, I'm joking. And but I've known Dave for quite a few years. I've met Pastor Rogers quite a few years ago, and he's a great man, and I love his spirit. I remember a couple years ago, I called you up to set up a tour group, and I said, Pastor Rogers, this is Jake Geiser from Howells Anderson College, and I just want to know if you want a tour group. We can come in and see if we can schedule a date. And he gets on the phone. He starts yelling at me. I don't know if you remember this. He goes, is this Jake? You're the guy that sings High Like a Girl? He said, you know, yeah, your buddy is Joe D. Haas. And he goes, we stood in a wedding together. Don't you remember that? He goes, boy, don't call me and think like I don't know you. And I was like, yeah, sir. You know, but... You know, he's always been like that. He's been a friend to me. And you know, what a wonderful pastor you have. What a wonderful pastor and pastor's wife who love the Lord and who love you. When's the last time you thank God for that? You know, God deserves to be magnified this morning. Amen. God deserves. Here's the three ways we can start doing it. Number one, verse number 46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. You know what magnify means? To supersize. You know, we supersize our Cokes at McDonald's. We supersize our French fries. And because we do that, we have to supersize our t-shirts. And because we supersize our t-shirts, we've got overstuffed chairs to sit in. You know, when's the last time you said, God, I supersize you in my thoughts? God, you are so huge. You are so magnificent. You are so awesome. You're so omnipotent. Lord, you are a wonderful, wonderful God. When was the last time you supersized God in your thoughts this morning? When was the last time you supersized Him and said, God, you are amazing. You are magnificent. Oh, God, you are so wonderful. You are so powerful. You are so gracious to me. My wife and I, while we were dating, and we still do it now, time and time again, and we would buy cards for each other, and we would write notes saying, I love you so much, or I like you in college. I don't know why we did that. If I wasn't dating you, if I didn't like you, I wouldn't date you. But you know, you sit there and we would write cards and we'd say how much we love each other and how much we miss each other and all this stuff. But then she would spray perfume. I would spray cologne and we'd sit there and we would tell each other how much we love. Why? Because we were thinking about her. I was thinking about her. She was thinking about me. Why? Because we were big. She is big in my heart and she was big in my mind. She was big in my thoughts. You know, I remember time and time again, we would grab our cell phones. No, Maggie, she's not big like this. I can't believe she did that. You're sitting in the back of the bus this morning. You know, you're not eating today because you're big. No. You know, you get cell phones and text messaging. And I remember going on work while I was still working, and we would get our text phone out and we would text each other while we're on the forklift and kind of watch where we're going and texting at the same time, hoping the boss doesn't see it and go right around the security camera so they don't see it, you know, but we sit there, I love you. Do you love me? You know, the old, I've never done this because I'm not old enough, but they say, you know, do you like me? Check yes or no. You know, you've been there and you've done that, you know, but you sit there, you know why? Because that person, you really thought a lot about him. May I ask you, Les, when was the last time you said, God, do you love me? Check yes or no. When's the last time you just got your phone out and sent a text and the recipient was God? God, I love you. God, thank you for all you've done for me. Is God supersized in your heart today? With God, we can talk to Him anytime. We don't need to text message Him. We don't need to wait until His phone's not busy any longer. What are you waiting for? Tell God you love Him this morning. Thank Him for all the things He's done for you. Tell Him how strong and powerful He is. Praise God for the beautiful pictures He paints. You know, I love looking at my at the sunsets or sunrises. My wife and I would be driving, and you know, we'd sit there and drive, and we were in a conversation. All of a sudden, she was like, "Look at that sunset! Look at all the beautiful pinks and the oranges and the yellows." And you know, I didn't hear it last night, but this thunderstorm last night, you had tornadoes and stuff like that. But you know, you sit there and I'm like, "Dude, that's cool." I remember one time we were driving through Kansas or something like that, and we were driving, you know, all these things you hear, you know, the tornadoes all going through there, and it was pretty bad weather, and we were driving, and we had the shuttle bus, and I'm like, literally, the steering wheel's like this, but I had to have the steering wheel like this just to keep it straight on the road, and you can feel the gust of wind coming through, you can see the lightning strike, and you hear the thunders roll and say, man, my God is awesome. You know, Buddha didn't do that. He's dead in a grave. And you know, God Almighty is an awesome God. I think of that. I think of when we were out in Colorado one time, and we were walking across. The pastor took us to the Colorado Monument, and you sit there. You sit on the edge of the canyons, and you get us. I try to get as close. I'm a daredevil, and I try to get as close as I can. Just look down and say, "Yep, if I fall right now, I die." But I would look across the canyons, and I see it, and it's like, it's so breathtaking. It is so beautiful. You think you're looking at a painting. You think you're looking at a painting. It's so breathtaking. It doesn't even look real. I say, my God did this. What a wonderful God we have. You know, I think of all the United States. We go from ocean to ocean. You got mountains. You got plains. You've got canyons. You've got mountains on the west. And it's just such a beautiful, beautiful country. And God gave it to us. I mean, we're Americans, and God allowed us to live here. You know, magnify God, supersize Him in your thoughts. In verse number 47, it says, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." Next thing is rejoice in God. The word rejoice means to jump for joy. I remember when we were in high school, and we were playing baseball, and we sat there, and we were on the Sox, the White Sox, and our little league team, and we were sitting there, and we're playing. My brother was the pitcher. I was the first baseman on our team, and we were third place, and we were in the league, and we were going into the playoffs, and we played the second place team in the playoffs, and we're sitting there, and we won it by a couple runs, and we were excited, we're going to the championship game. And we were talking about, my brother and I, when we'd stay up late, man, Jake, we gotta do this, and Josh, yeah, this is awesome, we gotta win this game, we were pumped up, and we were playing the team that used to be our coach. He was our coach for years. But things happened where we're on a different team this year. And we were sitting there. They were the best team all year long. They had the best players. And the funny thing is that his whole team was the team that my brother and I, we played with all the years growing up. And for some reason, we were on a different team this year. And we're sitting there. They got the best players on this team. Josh, you got to pitch awesome. We got to hit, and we got to do everything great. Well, we're sitting there. We're playing, and we were getting there. We're down to the bottom of the last inning. We were up by one run, and we were stoked. We were nervous, but we were stoked. And it was getting dark, and we were sitting there. And Josh, the best batter, comes up. We had a man on first. The best batter of their team was up to the plate, and we're sitting there. I'm just praying. I'm thinking, God, please. Josh has pitched all game this game, and I'm praying, Lord, please give him a 1-2-3 strike or something. You know, we're sitting there, first pitch, it's a ball. Second pitch, it's a strike. Third pitch, he comes up, another ball. Second pitch, he fouls it off. He fouls a couple more off, and then all of a sudden, we're sitting there. And I'm nervous as can be. The guy's leading off first. I'm sitting there waiting in case he tries to pick him off. And we're sitting there. He pitches. He swings and he misses. And we're excited. We won the game. We all run to the pitcher's mound. We are jumping, enjoying. And we're saying, praise God. No, we're singing, we are the champions. Amen. No time for losers. And we're jumping. All of a sudden, we're jumping up and down. We're sitting there and I'm looking out, and there's my dad. I couldn't believe it. I was embarrassed. My dad and another man, Mr. Carpenter, his son was our catcher. They were hugging each other, jumping up and down like this. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's embarrassing. That's not my dad tonight. But you know, we're sitting there. Why? Because we were rejoicing. We were jumping for joy
for we won the game. Can I ask you tonight, when's the last time you jumped for joy and what God has done in your life? Maybe He's healed this sick. He's brought a wayward child home. He's given you some money you weren't expecting to come in. And when's the last time you rejoiced in God for the salvation He's given you? You know, when are you going to jump for joy and rejoice in what God has done for you? David in 2 Samuel 6:14, David danced before the Lord. Why? Because the Ark of Covenant came back to his hometown. You know, and Mary rejoiced for the fact that God had chosen her to be the mother of Jesus. You know, we rejoice. The word joy, rejoice, means to rejoice in Christ, which means to rejoice. It means to remember what God has done for you in the past. You know, you may be going through a tough time. Can I tell you how you have rejoicing in your heart? Is remembering what God has done for you in the past. Remembering that God took care of that particular problem and He gave you food for that day. And He took care of that burden. He took care of that burden. He took care of that situation. And then if you can't even think of things, just look back and say, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ bore all my shame and bore all my sin on a cross. That's something to rejoice about, isn't it? My soul doth magnify the Lord, rejoicing in God. And then lastly, speak of the great things He has done for you. Verse 49, for He that is mighty hath done to me great things. Great things. You know what? When you think of all the great things He's done. My father, 2 years ago, was diagnosed with stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma. And the doctor said, if you had not got any treatment, if you don't get any treatment, you'll have 6 months to live. Those of you who don't know my father, my dad was 51, and he was a welder. My dad did pastor for 9 years, but my dad was a welder. My dad is as strong as an ox, and you look at him, you wouldn't think anything is wrong with him. The only thing he was losing, he was starting to lose his hair. He's starting to thin, and that's the only thing you'd see. My dad, you know, he would lift steel all the time, weld. He's been welding now for 25, 30 years or so. And he's sitting there and he started noticing some knots in his neck. And my mom finally bugged him enough to go get it checked out. And he was diagnosed with stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma. He had it all over his body. The doctor said, you have 6 months to live. We're going to start treatments here. And we're going to do this chemo. And we're going to do a stem cell transplant. And you know, when you do those things, you're scared. And you're scared. But you sit there and he's going through those, and I would see him and we'd go in the hospital and everything looked fine. And then he said, son, I'm feeling good. He said, this chemo was taking you. If you've been through chemo, you probably know it messes your taste buds up. And being a Cajun, you know, Northerners, you eat to live. Cajuns live to eat. All right. And so my dad's sitting there, this hospital food is horrible. It's nasty. It's gross. And then every time we'd go up, dad, what do you want? Oh, I want a roast beef sandwich. Bring me a Whopper or something. We'd come up and go see him in the hospital and we'd bring him something. He'd eat that. And he's like, and it just doesn't taste good. It's messing up his taste buds. And he's sitting there. You can see it. And then he said, son, I'm doing great. He said, if my God's a great God, as long as I can keep my hair. And I'm thinking, dad, you're losing it already before he started chemo. You know, what's the point? But you sit there. And he said, you sit there. And then the hair fell out. And he sit there. But I'd go in the hospital and I see him. And he sit there. And I say, dad, how you doing? Oh, son, I'm doing great. He pulled open his Bible and said, son, look what I learned today. And he'd start teaching me the Bible in his hospital room. He would go in and a nurse would come in and he'd sit there and she'd time take your medicine and you'd give him his medicine and every day he'd have to weigh in and I'd watch my dad tell the nurse, said, I ain't weighing. He goes, until you weigh. And the nurse would sit there. And I'm thinking, this would be kind of cool because she was a pretty big nurse. You know, I want to see how, but you know, and you sit there, I ain't weighing, and he'd be ornery with her and he'd get up there and finally, all right, I'll get on the scale. But you know, next time you're getting on before I do. But he sit there and he said, son, this is how I rejoice because God, I'm still on the right side of the dirt. I'm still up and I'm still living and God's a good God to me. He's provided me everything. You know, and he went through that and became cancer free and he was doing wonderfully. And then he went in for another test, another checkup. And they found out that his cancer, a test chemo came through and they messed up his chromosomes and he was in the stage right before leukemia and he had to go back into the hospital and he said, son, I don't know what God's doing, He said, he got me through the last time, and I'm happy about that. He said, I'm going to get through this one. He called me up the other day. He said, son, I got good news. He said, he had a 21-year-old male donate stem cells to him, and it was a perfect match, and that is very rare. And he's sitting there. He called me up. He said, son, I got all the tests back, got the bone marrow biopsies back. Son, the doctors say everything's working right. Everything is going great. All my counts are all normal. He said, son, it's awesome what God has done. And can I ask you tonight, what heartache are you going through right now? But you know what? And you're sitting there and you're burdened down and you're troubled and you're heartached. And you said, I don't know how I'm going to make it through another day. Can I tell you, look back to when God did something for you and rejoice in it and remember what God has done for you. And therefore you can have joy through life. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth rejoice in Him. And I'm going to speak of the great things He's done for you. You know what? He's given you a home in heaven. He's given you a wonderful family. He's given you a wonderful church family. He's given you a job to work in, especially in this economy. He's given you food to eat. He's given you clothes to wear. I don't see anybody without any clothes on. You better rejoice about that. You've got clothes on today. He's given you a vehicle somehow to get from to and fro, from wherever you're going, from point A to point B. Everybody's here this morning. If you don't have a vehicle, you walk. God's given you legs to walk. He's given you a lawnmower to cut your grass. And He's given you health as long as my lungs keep breathing and my heart keeps a pumping. I thank God for keeping me on the right side of the dirt. Amen. You know, my soul doth magnify Him. Young person, when's the last time you thanked God for your parents? When's the last time you thanked God for a dad that works, provides food for you, provides a place for you to sleep? You know what? The first bed I bought was the bed we had when we got married. And even then, I didn't buy it. My wife bought it. She found a good deal, some money her dad gave her. So technically, I've never bought a bed. I bought a box spring. No, I'm joking. What do you call those? I don't know. What the metal things that go underneath the box spring? Huh? Frame. I bought a frame. That's all I've bought. So if I didn't have, my wife didn't buy the box spring or the bed, we'd be sleeping in the middle of the floor in between the frame. But you know, I thank God for that. I thank God for the clothes that He's given me. I thank God for the hair He's kept, let me keep. My wife was kidding me the other day. She cuts my hair and she found 3 gray hairs in my head. I'm thinking, this isn't good. I will? Okay. Pastor says I'll be all right. I'll be all fine. I'll rejoice in that. You know, but I'm sitting there and I think of all these things. But you know what? You say, well, I don't know about this God that you're rejoicing about. What's so big about Him? Can I tell you, if you come this morning and you meet Him, you'll realize how big He is. You'll realize how wonderful He is. You'll realize that He has prepared a place for you. You'll realize that He will take away all your sin. He will give you a home in heaven, and He will make a home for you. You can live with Him. You'll be heirs with Jesus Christ. You'll be His child. And then you'll get to rejoice and say, my God is a wonderful God. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Can I ask you this morning, have you supersized God lately? Have you made big thoughts about Him? Have you thought a lot about Him this morning? Have you rejoiced in God? Have you jumped for joy to show God you are thrilled of the things He is doing in your life? And then lastly, have you spoken about the great things He's done for you? Satan wants us to dwell in the negative. He wants us to live in the present. He wants us to live in the worry of what's going to happen in the future. But God says, I want you to rejoice in me. I'll take care of everything you'll ever need. I ask you tonight, have you rejoiced? Have you magnified the Lord? In a few moments, the pianist is going to play. If you say, I've never met the Savior you're talking about, I never met this God. He's such a big God. He sounds wonderful. He sounds awesome. And you say, I've never met Him, but tonight I want to meet, this morning I want to meet Him. And you want me to pray for you, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? Anybody like that? By your testimony in here, it shows that everyone has trusted Christ as their Savior. And now I ask you tonight, those of you who are sitting in the pew and you say, this morning I have not supersized God like I've ought to. I've dwelt on the negative and I haven't rejoiced in all the great things He's done. But this morning I want to start doing that. I want to start magnifying the Lord. As Mary said, my soul doth magnify Him.
and you want me to pray for you, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? Good, good. There's hands up all over. Put your hands down. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray that you use this message for your glory and your honor. Lord, I pray that you'd use the invitation how you would want it to be done. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Lord, you're such a great and wonderful God. Lord, you are so amazing and so powerful and so wonderful and so merciful to us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we all stand as the pianist plays? You come.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God's speaking to your heart. Come on. You have a decision to make. Have you magnified God? Have you praised Him? Have you rejoiced? I mean, when is the last time? I mean, you really rejoiced. Well, I got excited about that ball game. Yeah, but when's the last time you got excited about what God's done? You say, my rejoicer's broken. Okay, think about what He's done in the past. The mighty works of God. You know what? He can do those mighty works still. He's still God. Many have come. If you need to come, God's speaking to your heart. There's time. Come on. Amen. The invitation's still open. Folks are still praying. Any others need to come? I have one more verse. If you need to come, come on this verse.